We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. Text 52. Tvam sarva lokasya suhit priyeshvaro. Hyat magurur jnanam abhishta siddhi. Tatapi lokona bhavantam andadir. Janati santam hridi badakama. Tvam. You, my dear Lord. Sarva lokasya. Of all planets and their inhabitants. Suhrit, the most well-wishing friend. Priya, the most dear. Ishvara, the supreme controller. He, also. Atma, the supreme soul. Guru, the supreme teacher. Gyanam, the supreme knowledge. Abhishta Siddhi, the fulfillment of all desires. Tata Api, still. Loka, persons. Na, not. Bhavantam, unto you. Andadi, because of blind intelligence. Janati, can know. Santam, situated. Hridi, in his heart. Badakama, because of being bewildered by material lusty desires. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My Lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone, the dearmost friend, the controller, the super soul, the supreme instructor and the giver of supreme knowledge and the fulfillment of all desires. But, although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. Purport. Herein the reason for foolishness is described, because the conditioned soul in this material world is full of materialistic lusty desires, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha archana tishtati. It is because of this foolishness that one cannot take instructions from the Lord. Although the Lord is ready to instruct everyone, both externally and internally. The Lord says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam, yenam mam upayantite. In other words, the Lord can give instructions on devotional service by which one can return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, however, people do not take this devotional service. The Lord being situated in everyone's heart, can give one complete instructions on going back to Godhead, but because of lusty desires, one engages himself in materialistic activities and does not render service to the Lord. Therefore, one is bereft of the value of the Lord's instructions. By mental speculation, one can understand that one is not the body, but a spirit soul. But unless one engages in devotional service, the real purpose of life is never fulfilled. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, dance with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and eat with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. These are different times, different items of Ananda, spiritual happiness, in spiritual variegatedness. Even though one may come to the platform of Brahma Buddha and understand his spiritual identity by speculative knowledge, one cannot enjoy spiritual life without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is indicated here by the word Abhishta Siddhi. One can fulfill the ultimate goal of life only by engaging in devotional service to the Lord. Then the Lord will give one proper instructions on how to go back home, back to Godhead. So here Srila Prabhupada quotes a few verses from Bhagavad Gita. First is this verse, Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yanamam upayantite. And this verse says that if we are sincere, if we want to serve Him, Krishna will give us intelligence on how to serve Him. Sometimes He will give us intelligence in different ways than what we expect. Sometimes we go in Sankirtan and we do things that normally we wouldn't do. No, but we just have an inspiration. Oh, do this. You know, sometimes you get this inspiration. Do this with this person. And it's sometimes it even works. So this is the funniest thing. So, for example, we talked last time about tolerance. And there's this misunderstanding that tolerance and action are not compatible. You know, that you have to tolerate, and if you tolerate, you don't do anything. And sometimes it's true, and sometimes it's not true. Sometimes you can tolerate while doing something. You can be very tolerant. I met one guy, and I tried to give him a book, and he said, "No, these books are not for me. No, these books, it's not for me. Because I like to spend money, and I like to enjoy life." So, okay, anyway. I talked to him a bit more and then give him the book. And then he take it, put it in his bag. And then I say, "Oh, can you help with a donation?" I said, no, I will not give a donation. But you already told me that you like to spend money, so why don't you spend some money? I mean, it's obvious. I said, no, I won't give it. I want it for free. And then usually, I don't argue with people. You know, in Sankirtan, you don't argue with people. You're like, okay, just take it, whatever. Someone will give. He was in this mood. And I felt inspired to tell him a few things. But I was not angry, you know, like, I was just firm, you know, like, okay, I will not give you this book for free because you don't have the proper attitude. I told him like this, you know, like, you don't have the proper attitude, you will not appreciate the book, so why should I give you the book? So I told a few things like this, and then he was with one friend, and his friend was also, "Yeah, why don't you just behave, you know?" And after some time, he got like, he said, "Oh, okay, I can give a donation, you know." And "Yeah, I'm sorry for acting like that, you know," and so on. And then he said, okay, "This looks like a nice book. I will read it. Thank you. Nice to meet you," and so on. So normally we don't do like this. We don't confront people, but sometimes never try this with Matajis. With Prabhus, with men you can try, because men they have this tendency. You tell them something, and then first they will be like, and then they will think some more, and then say, "Well, actually, he's right. I know that's how men work sometimes. And another instance, I was talking with one young boy, and he came with this kind of philosophy that I don't need a book because nobody knows anything, and you cannot know anything. You know, you probably heard this philosophy. I heard it thousands of times. You know, like the highest knowledge is that you don't know anything. Okay. And then usually I don't argue with this kind of people. I just thank them and wish them a nice day. That's it, you know, like, no point in arguing. But for some reason, I just felt inspired. I was like, okay, now we'll just put something on the table. So, and then I told him something in this direction, that if your teacher says that nobody knows, then this means that he doesn't know. So, you know, nobody knows, so then your teacher doesn't know. That's logical. So then why don't you, why do you follow this teacher if he doesn't know? So better find someone who knows. And then he was like grumbling a bit. And then I repeated the same thing, the same idea. And then eventually he was like, okay. I will take a book. I will give it a try. So he took a book, then I was like, oh, sorry for being a bit pushy, you know, like, no, he was like, oh, you have such a nice energy. I was just confronting him, no, you have such a nice energy, very nice, okay, thank you. So sometimes these examples are not that we should do this, but sometimes it's that Krishna sometimes gives us the intelligence of on how to do things which are not things we would usually do. So, just because this text was quoted by Srila Prabhupada. And in this text, King Satyavrata is explaining why people don't take to Krishna consciousness. And I remember there was His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj gave a class in Romania like five years ago or something like this. And some devotee was asking look, Maharaj, I want to serve Krishna, so why doesn't he help me serve him? And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport. This verse says that the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. So Krishna is in my heart. And it says even more, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities. So he's in our heart. He's directing us what to do. So we want to serve him. So why doesn't he direct us to serve him? Why does he direct us to do some other things? So that was the question of this devotee. And the answer was that very nice answer, very short answer. And then he gave some details which I don't remember. But the short answer was that we want to serve Krishna and we want so many other things. So that's why Krishna doesn't give us the intelligence. In the Bhagavad Gita, in second chapter, there's this nice verse where Vasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandanam Bahushakahyanantascha Buddhayo Vasayinam. And he says that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. You know, they just have one purpose, to serve Krishna. And the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. And the others, they have so many things they want. Krishna says, okay, those who are really serious, they just want to serve me. And the others, they have so many ideas. And the problem is that material desires and spiritual desires are in contradiction with each other. We will put a bit more info on this one. But if you want to be one-pointed and have material desires, tough luck. After this verse, Krishna, three verses later, he says, he gives also a clear description. He says, in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So he says, if you want material enjoyment and material opulence, then Krishna doesn't have. There's no place for Krishna. And it's really nice the way Krishna says, there's no place. It's literally, and when I read this verse, I always think there is no place physically. There is no place. You know, like there's this Zen, I think, is story. Or Buddha, it's coming from this Zen tradition or some. It goes, sometimes you find it on the internet. And the story is that someone goes to the guru, to the teacher or whatever they have. And the teacher says, "Do you want some tea?" "Yeah, sure." You know, like in this Buddhist, they have to drink tea. It's part of I don't know why. He gives him a cup, and he gets the cup, and this teacher starts pouring tea, and starts pouring some, and the cup is full. And then he continues pouring, you know, like. And the tea is overflowing, and this disciple is saying, "Ah, Guru Maharaj, this the cup is full. You cannot put more tea if the cup is full." And then the master says, "Yeah, it's just like you. you come here, you have all your crazy ideas. And you want me to put something, but there's no place. Where should I put it? First, you have to get rid of your crazy ideas, then I can put some things." So this is classical Zen story, I think. But it's really how it works out. And it's connected with this verse, because it says that if our mind is full of material desires, then there's no place for Krishna in our mind. Where can you put Krishna? And Krishna also details the same thing, exactly the same, the same principle in different way. In chapter 7, he gives four categories of people who are pious, who are attracted to Krishna. The people who are suffering, which is most of the people. Like 90% of the people come to Krishna consciousness because they suffer. And there are some people who come to Krishna because they want some wealth. Something. Money. There are some people who have some questions, and there are some who are searching for the absolute knowledge. And Krishna says, yes, all these people are very, very nice. He actually uses the word magnanimous, you know, great souls, you know, like which are very charitable. They are they are coming to Krishna for all their desires. This is actually quite very intelligent. Sometimes you meet these people. I met one lady. She was somehow pious and open, and she told me, "You know, I was into spirituality and so on, and now I have to work." And and she told me something like, "Spirituality will not pay my bills." and I was like, "Well, actually." it will. Because if you're intelligent, you understand, oh, Krishna is behind. And if Krishna is pleased with me, why will he not solve my problems? My material problems. Sometimes, of course, he solves our material problems in a different way than what we expect. But Krishna will take care of his devotees. through His energies to direct. Sometimes maybe we still need to get a job or not. Sometimes, but Krishna really does maintain His devotees. And sometimes when I hear this, there's also one text from Bhagavad Gita which I like to talk about with people, because this verse says that it's și pancha tatva ki jai și cornitai ki jai. It's text 14 from chapter 3 in Bhagavad Gita. It's where Krishna really gives the economical principle, the real economical principle. And he says, yes, all the bodies subsist on food grains. Yeah, you want to survive, you have to eat. And then he says, you want food grains, then you have to have some rain. And then he says, rain is produced by yagya. So then I like to show people this text where it says, yes, you want to eat, you have to do some yagya. So even for material benefits, you have to do something in relation with Krishna. Of course, now people have some pious credit probably, which they are fastly consuming, so there's still some food. But actually, this is the principle that you want to eat, you have to do yagya. That's it. That's the principle. And it's also in there's this example with Maharaj Prithu. He asks Mother Bhumi, why don't you produce grains? And Mother Bhumi says quite frankly that, you know, there are many demons, there are many non-pious people, so why should I give them grains? So I'm not interested in supporting these people. So this is the economic principle, that if you please Krishna, if you perform yagya, then there will be food, there will be everything you need. And so this there's also an example. Bhakta Doman was listening yesterday to some class, and he selected some part of this class. It was quoting, it was about Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes reporters would come to Srila Prabhupada and ask him, where do you get so much money? You know, because sometimes people would become envious that we have so big buildings, so nice so nice deities, we have big we have cars, we have good food, we have everything. And this reporter was like, where do you get this all this money? And this reporter was expecting some answer, like, later Srila Prabhupada gave an answer in this line, like, we are selling these books and we get this the money from selling books and so on. He gave some but the first answer Srila Prabhupada was like, Krishna, from Krishna we get all this money. Yeah, because if we're, that's the system, it's the Lakshmi Narayan principle. So if Lord Narayan is there, then Lakshmi Devi will automatically come. Everyone is searching for Lakshmi Devi. Okay, she gives this benefit, that benefit. But if Krishna is there, then Lakshmi Devi is also there, because she's a caste lady, so she's always there where her husband is. So of course she's there, you know. Like, so if Krishna is pleased, then you'll have everything you need. So these people who come to Krishna for money, They are really intelligent. I mean, if they really do it like this, because they understand, oh, Krishna has all the money, so I will come, I will serve him, and he will give some money. Of course. I mean, who can solve my economical problems better than Krishna? But of course, Krishna says after he says this, he says, "Yeah, good. These people are really intelligent. But if they are really intelligent, they will surrender to me. They will not just come. Initially, they can come due to different reasons. I'm suffering a bit. I want some money. I want some knowledge. Okay, but when they come and then they get this knowledge, the culmination of this knowledge is that they will surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna says this famous word: Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahadmasu Durlaba. But it's what's important, interesting in this verse is that he says after many births and deaths. You know, because these people, these four type of categories of people, they come with some material desires, with some spiritual desires, you know, like this. And Krishna says that after many births and deaths, they will get knowledge, and then they will surrender to Krishna. Text 16, which speaks of four types of category, this is more in the stage of Bhajana Kriya. Like people come and they chant some Hare Krishna. And this text 19 is at least speaking about, at least about Nishta, from maybe even more. So, yeah, problem is that between Bhajana Kriya and Nishta, there's Anartha Nivriti. So, we have to purify our desires. And Krishna, after he gives an idea what he says that intelligent people will surrender to him, and not so intelligent. Then he speaks a bit about demigods, and then he almost at the end of the chapter he gives this verse that persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. He says again that, okay, if you want to engage in my service with determination, then you have to be free from all these material desires. Because there's a conflict. Same idea. And so to be really stable in spiritual life, we need to renounce our material desires. Actually, this Nishta state, this stage where we are really stable, means that we might have some material desires, but they don't interfere with our service. I think in Madhurya Kadambini there is a number, but I'm not sure this is. But Vishwanath Chakravarti says that Thakur says that it's like 75% of the desires are eradicated, and the others are still there, but they are not impeding. You know, like. We probably eat an extra cake when we come from Sankirtan. But still we go next day also. So it's still there. There's some material desires, but they're not an impediment anymore. So, you can say about this material desire that this is an indication of our spiritual progress. If we are making progress in spiritual life, then our material desires should really decrease. you cannot go in both directions. No. There's a, Krishna says here that after many lives, if we develop this knowledge and we are serious, then we can get to him. Srila Prabhupada says that in this life, because Srila Prabhupada comes as a representative of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna. He's Krishna, but he's more merciful. Krishna usually is in the mood that, oh, you have to get qualified, and then we discuss. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, just take it. But still, it's the same principles that apply. It's not that we shouldn't be like, oh, I don't have to do anything anymore. Ah, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. So, Srila Prabhupada promises that we can go back to Godhead in this life. But we should still renounce our material desires, which will not make us happy anyway. So there's really a nice opportunity. So we can give it a try. Engage seriously in devotional service. As said in this purport, it's all about what we desire. What do we want to do? So if you want to go back home, back to Godhead, Krishna will fulfill our desire. But you know, our desires is shown by, like Maharaj said, that it's shown by what we say and also by how we act. You know, like okay. Why not take this chance seriously? And Srila Prabhupada is just finishing his what's at the end of a parmal. And it's good not to be foolish. Like King Satyavrata says here that the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. And then Srila Prabhupada, King Satyavrata says, if you have too much material desires, we're not so intelligent. He says this. So. Srila Prabhupada finishes his purport by saying that one can fulfill the ultimate goal of life only by engaging in devotional service to the Lord. Then the Lord will give one proper instructions on how to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is giving us intelligence, and as he describes in the seventh chapter in Bhagavad Gita, if you want to worship demigods, he will give us intelligence on how to worship demigods. If we want to fulfill our material desires, he will give us intelligence on how to fulfill our material desires. And if we want to go back home, back to Godhead, he will give us intelligence on how to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, I'll stop here. Grant Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.